all I sort of wanted when we sort of started this work was for these kids to go out into the world and say, there's a museum, that's a place for me, that's a place where I can go. And I've sort of travelled with my family and with friends, and it's amazing how many people will look at a museum and say, oh, I'm not the sort of person who goes to museums. I say, well, why not? It's like, I don't read, or I'm not clever. I'm not into history. And it's like, well, just come and have a look. You might be surprised. And so what all that I really, really want is to sort of get as many kids as possible coming into the museum to say, you know, this is a place where I belong. This is a place where I can tell a story, and I can be a part of what's happening, and not a scary place. Just because I didn't do history at school doesn't mean I can't go to this place. And so that's sort of really at the essence of the work that I'm trying to do with them. But it's taking on a life of its own and extending so much more beyond that, which is really, really exciting.
And inspiring kids is exactly what Sam Lear is definitely doing, without a doubt. She's bringing kids into the museum not just to have a look around, but to actually make a STEAM exhibition itself. Today is definitely about helping kids take ownership of their learning.
You're listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. For hundreds of ideas, free experiments and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. And now, here's your host, Ben Newsome.
Yes, welcome again to another Physics Ed podcast. Hey, big week this week. We're speaking with Sam Lear, who's the Regional Museums Officer for the Museum of the Riverina. Now, if you're wondering where that happens to be, think Wagga Wagga. Think just near the New South Wales-Victoria border on the New South Wales side. It's this fantastic museum spread across two sites, which is obviously about the regional area. But I tell you what, Sam's doing a big thing with the local students. What they're doing is they're basically setting up a science hub. They're getting the students to come together and create this exhibition for the public around science and technology. And we're going to hear a lot about what this is all about. And I tell you what, Sam is highly passionate. She's a historian by trade, by her training, but she definitely understands the importance of science without a doubt. She's creating a STEAM exhibition. Love her work, and we're going to hear all about it.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast.
Well, my role with the Museum of the Riverina is I'm the Regional Museums Officer, and what that means is that I coordinate sort of regional projects, so not just in-house exhibitions or events, but activities that might involve a number of local museums in our region, and also outside of the LGA as well. So right across the Riverina, I get to go and speak to people and help them with their museum problems, and also run these large region-wide projects that take in lots and lots of different stories. So, and the Museum of the Riverina is in Happy Wagga Wagga, or sunny Wagga Wagga today, definitely. So, it's a really lovely place to be and to work and to drive around and meet lots of other people, mostly volunteers as well, working in these small museums.
I'd argue also a booming area. Wagga Wagga is a fantastic place. My brother actually lives down that way, and the site is as a regional hub, and very much seeing that you're setting up a STEM hub, it makes complete sense because you have quite a large district to cover and a lot of people to look after as well.
Yes, unlike Canberra, we are halfway between Sydney and Melbourne.
Exactly. Oh, dig.
So we do actually have sort of a lot of choice, and it is sort of a logical place to stop, and it's sort of got a lot of really lovely things about it, but it still has very much a country town feel to it. I'm not from Wagga. I've been here about 12 years now, so definitely not a local yet. But it's a really great place to work and live, and there's lots of opportunity to do like big things, but also to keep things small and intimate and build, you know, country town relationships with people. So it's quite a special place to work.
Well, I'm really, really fascinated with what you're getting up to, because clearly it's a social history museum, but you're jumping into this STEAM space, which is just awesome from my point of view. But mind you, I do love history. I'm very much a history buff. And you would be seeing that you are a historian. How did you get into thinking about getting into science stuff as well?
Lots and lots of different things that are going on in the museum and the history world at the moment that sort of pulled little bits of information and projects that have been done elsewhere. But probably the one that really kicked this idea off for me was Auckland Museum a couple of years ago did a project where they worked with a group of high school kids and built Gallipoli in Minecraft. And then they turned it into a sort of scale model using the Minecraft blocks. So it gave sort of a sense of perspective. But then they also had VR for the virtual reality goggles for the visitors coming to sort of walk through the Gallipoli landscape. And I just thought it was one of the coolest things. And I have a Minecraft child, and he was just blown away. And we also try and go to lots of museums, and the Museum of Applied Arts and Sciences had done some, like a lot of this sort of work around Minecraft. And so it was sort of a few different ideas and just thoughts of what could we do to tap into this idea that computers can be used in a social history museum, and what else is there? And then I found out about some grants from Inspiring Australia, which which were for 3D printers and for maker spaces. And I didn't even know what I was going to do with a 3D printer, but I just thought, wow, I want one. Like I don't even know what I want to do with it. I just want one.
Oh, the beauty about 3D printers, seriously, like just sorry to interject for a little bit, but that's actually going on at work now. One of our, we've got these things called Hobman spheres. These big expanding plastic balls that go from, it works in Imperial. So it goes from 1 foot to 4 feet. So whatever that is in metric, it's big. These big expanding balls, but these plastic components keep breaking. And we looked at this 3D printer going, it's February, it's quiet. Let's just do it. And so one of the guys, Russell, the last couple of days has been creating these beautifully well designed with all the bevels and edges, these parts that are going to save us a fortune, because these plastic balls, for example, cost a couple hundred dollars to buy, or we could just get them printed in house. It's fantastic. 3D printers are great.
Yeah, and for some of our objects are sort of quite awkward shapes, and to sort of get a stand that supports the object properly so that it for its conservation, but also so that visitors can look at it. We're sort of seeing that there's a lot of potential, beyond this project, that we can be designing custom stands for some of our things that might be too fragile to put on display with the resources that we have. So we're really, really excited once we start working with it and getting more confident with the software and the technology of where it might take us.
One of the things that I really love what you're doing, Sam, is you're just going, I don't know quite what we're going to do with it yet, but we're just going to get it and we're just going to see. And that's just awesome because the number of people that sort of like analysis paralysis just overthink everything and just nothing happens. I love the fact that you've seen this, the Minecraft, the VR exhibition at Auckland, which, by the way, sounds all, I want to check that out myself now.
It's online, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And this is the thing, because you're looking at your own museum from a computer space, that means that people can interact around the globe. And that's just awesome. And it's not just via computers. I mean, you're actually going to have opportunity class in a local area getting into this too.
Yes. Yes, we're very, very excited about this. We I launched this project just a couple of days ago with the class, and it was really lovely to see their response and the sort of things that interested them, because you never know with kids until you get in there. And so the project is called Steam the Museum, and it's about using different sort of steam technologies to solve problems that the museum has. But then sort of applying those in like a museum interpretation context. So it's not just about getting out some robots and doing a workshop on how to code robots. It's about how can we use this robot to tell a story about the past? And so the group that works with robots 1954, the Queen came to Wagga for 145 minutes. Every single minute is documented and photographed because it was such a big deal that Wagga was selected at one of the cities she visited. So that group is going to sort of use all those historical resources, use a map, and then they need to code their little robots to follow the route that she took, but storytell at the same time. So they're using this sort of great new technology that we have sort of access to budget and funds and the resources that they need that they might not get otherwise, and that they sort of have a lot more know-how and a lot more confidence. And the wonderful thing about working with kids is that they don't see the barriers that we might see as adults, particularly once you've worked in a space for a while. There are sort of these rules that aren't actually written down and you know, but you kind of know that they're there and you follow them. And the kids don't see any of that. They just take things from what they see it could be and work towards that. They don't worry about, you know, but we haven't done that before, or, you know, that's not how we do things. They don't carry any of that baggage. So all of those assumptions that you carry into these things, they just smash them in the first couple of minutes, and it's wonderful. It's so liberating. So,
how old are these kids?
Yeah. They're 10 to 12, so they're stage 3, and this is a follow-up exhibition. We did one last year with them, which was just using photographs, and they wrote labels, and it was the same sort of concept where they led the project, and they just blew us away. We were sort of trying to work out the bugs in the process before we got onto this big project, the teacher and I, and they really just went far beyond our expectations. So there's 30 children, and so they were each given a frame that they had to curate. But what was in that, in the frame, was up to them. But it needed to be a history story. It wasn't sort of, at my house, I have a dog. It couldn't be something about their personal life. It had to be a Wagga or a Riverina story. And when we started it, I thought I'll have, you know, half of them will be about animals and the other half will be about sport. I couldn't have been more wrong. One girl was really interested in filigree architecture, and some people were interested in money and conversion, and from pounds, shillings and pence into decimal currency. And they did a heap of sums around how you convert money back in the olden days, like how the massive maths that sort of went into pence and shillings and what have you. And it was the breadth and depth of their work was really surprising. And it's just sort of always so interesting to see what kids do when you say go.
I've always wondered what would happen if a museum had a class as this is the kids curators for the year, and they created the discovery trail in the museum, which is curated by kids for kids. It'd be so interesting. It sounds like what you're doing is effectively the first steps towards something, which I love it. The kids are going to have ownership of this, let's be honest. Like, they're the ones that made it, but they're also going to be the ones that then promote, hey, come check this place out. Then not only do they're going to do that with their families, which is obviously inevitable, but then friends might be invited, and it's just, it kind of feels like they could re-engage in a space which doesn't just have to be just a school trip, that you can genuinely say, I got involved in making this thing.
Yes, yes. And the goal that, you know, very vague, well, not a vague goal, but a sort of not a massive goal, but all I sort of wanted when we sort of started this work was for these kids to go out into the world and say, there's a museum. That's a place for me. That's a place where I can go. And I've sort of travelled with my family and with friends, and it's amazing how many people will look at a museum and say, oh, I'm not the sort of person who goes to museums. I say, well, why not? It's like, oh, I don't read, or I'm not I'm not clever, I'm not into history. And so, well, just come and have a look, you might be surprised. And so what all that I really, really want is to sort of get as many kids as possible coming into the museum to say, you know, this is a place where I belong. This is a place where I can tell a story, and I can be a part of what's happening, and not a scary place. Just because I didn't do history at school doesn't mean I can't go to this place. And yeah, so that's sort of really at the essence of the work that I'm trying to do with them, but it's taking on a life of its own and extending so much more beyond that, which is really, really exciting.
I bet so. I mean, you've got adults helping shape, but another 30 other minds who are going to be inquiring at all times. And now they get to create something which generally can influence others, which is fantastic. And I was just sort of just thinking at the time going, this reminds me, I still haven't read this book. There's a book called Ready, Fire, Aim. By Michael Masterson. Okay. And Ready, Fire, Aim is the idea that from an entrepreneurial thinking space, I mean, I know there's a STEM podcast, but the reality is that when we're doing STEM projects, project-based learning type stuff, really what we're doing is we're getting kids to think in an entrepreneurial way. It's like a what-if thinking. And what-if thinking is best done when it's not constrained by the current rules. I mean, eventually you've got rules that you've got to look after eventually, but it means that you can be, you know, a little bit more loose and come up with some audacious goals. And, you know, every now and then you come up with something that's great. I mean, I was just sort of thinking here, like, there'll be so many opportunities, especially when you talked about virtual reality. I mean, the kids could have spots where they could put Erasmus in, where the augmented reality starts coming into your site. And it's going to be interesting to see how this grows.
Oh, absolutely. And one of the best things about the work that we're doing is it's not only these kids who will benefit from it, because we know from some other exhibitions we've had. We have touring exhibitions from Questacon. Questacon's a science museum for people overseas. And we know how popular it is, not just like kids come in, but then the adults. You see the parents or the carers who've brought their kids along to this exhibition, and they're just itching to get in there. And when the kids are finished having a go at the problem or the experiment, they can't wait to dive in and have a go. And so one of the things we really wanted to make sure we included in our program is a way for other people in the community, especially adults, to come and engage with this. It's in a regional place like Wagga, there isn't a 3D print shop you can duck down to on a Thursday night and do a beginner's workshop, which I've seen in online that happens in the capital cities. It's just the opportunities for that entry level for adult learners are so much harder to come by. And so we wanted to create some opportunity around what we were doing. So later in this year for Science Festival, we'll have some kids teaching adults about robots and coding. That's with a high school group that we're collaborating with in a small part of this project. So these kids who are sort of 14 and 15 years old will get a chance to teach interested adults the basics of robotics and coding that they otherwise they could, you know, self-direct and find this information, but we just sort of want to light a bit of a spark for people who maybe haven't ventured into that. And some of the, I've been speaking to people who are outside of this STEAM world in their work and what they do, or their kids aren't interested. And it's amazing, you know, how many people say, I'm not really good at math. And like, well, you don't have to be. You just have to give it a go. I'm not good at math, that's for sure. and so the really sort of exciting bit is the way that we can roll some of this out to benefit other people in the community. And that's probably the best thing about the work that we're doing, is that we, the museum, get this sort of great, hopefully, this great exhibition at the end, fingers crossed. But also that we get to have a little bit of an impact with other people in the community and get them thinking about how they fit in this new world with these new technologies that are coming along.
Well, one of the things I love is how you're meshing the narrative of the past to now. And I mean, just looking at your website right now, there's a fantastic exhibition with talking, talking machines. That's a really interesting thing.
Yeah, it's a wonderful project, Talking Machines. That was my predecessor, the regional museum's officer before me, ran that project, and she did an amazing job. And it has sort of those layers of interaction. So what she did with that project is worked with 10 other small volunteer museums, taught them about oral history recordings. They had training workshops, then we had interviewers come out, and we captured a whole heap of video footage about these old machines being fired up and driven, that then created a bigger narrative around the Industrial Revolution and how that works in farming, because the Industrial Revolution in farming regions has a massive impact on labour and food production and export, and even the railway lines through regional and sort of the western parts of Australia are sort of based around getting that food to markets for export taxes, really, to get them through Sydney for export tax. And it's a really beautiful story, and then it has curriculum links for high school teachers who are interested in sort of picking this up and teaching it. There's a curriculum package, but if you're just interested in old machines and life in the olden days, you can just hop on the website and watch these really wonderful videos that we've been able to make in-house. And it's very sort of similar in it's a little bit of that technology and it's history and it's teaching at the same time. So, it was a really special project for us. And so, yeah, I think it set the bar quite high for us. So we want to keep hitting that bar.
Sam, I've got the feeling that you're pretty much playing. You're pretty much getting to play in a lot of ways.
Well, not everything I do is play. So this is my play. I say this is my dessert to people. So
but that's the
once
beauty
I've
about
done,
it.
You know,
it's good. Like this
sorry,
is the thing,
what was
like,
that?
Being able to put all your like passion and energy and drive into something that you genuinely care about means that you get to have a bit of fun with it in the process. And if I feel that this is a beginning of Museum Riverina exploding out beyond your local government area bounds, so to speak, because it'd be really cool. And I'd love to see what happens as you go along, because there are a number of regional museums, you know, around Australia and in every other country. It'd be interesting to see how these things will grow over time.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. We're planning on documenting as we go. I mean, we need to document what we do anyway, but I think there is a huge amount of potential. So we're planning on documenting the work that we do through a blog, so that we can write about the process, but also the failures. It's something everybody talks about the success, but conversations around failure are a lot harder to come by. But they're the ones that you learn the most from. So we're very keen to put that information online and to sort of have a conversation with other people who are interested in taking a risk or getting some advice or you know, in a similar way to the way that the Auckland project sort of sparked something with us. If we can spark something with another museum, then that would be a wonderful outcome.
Absolutely. And I definitely wholeheartedly agree with the idea of analysing failure, because it works. Like, what worked, what didn't work, what can we do in the future is a good thing. And I know that the teacher of that class will be looking at reflections anyway. And actually, we should give a shout out. Which school is working with you?
It's Sturt Public School in Wagga, and it's the only opportunity class in the Riverina. So we have, there's a lot of kids in the class who they might commute in from quite a way away to get in and have the opportunity in this sort of great learning environment. And we're sort of very lucky to have an amazing teacher who just rolls with everything that comes up. She, I don't know how she does it. And these, we did one day last year. I spent all day with the class working up their exhibitions, and I was exhausted. I said, I don't know how you do this every day.
I think it's the almost full circle, like what we're talking at the start. You've got passion, drive, but also sometimes coffee.
Yes, yeah, I think so. a bit of a rest and a good lie down at the end of the day. But, these sort of rock star teachers, I call them, who just, they're just so passionate about what they do and in trying to enlighten and engage their students, they just, there's nothing they wouldn't sort of at least consider or have a work up they really do make the difference for people like me who are trying to engage with the education space, who don't come from an education background. Just for her to say, yeah, let's give that a go, was sort of a really wonderful thing, and the expertise that she brings about not only things like curriculum links and how to structure the information that we present, but just being able to manage the class and know the best way to approach small problems. So we've been placing the students into groups, and she had a formula for how we would, the best way to place them into their separate groups, because everybody wants to do the cool stuff with the robots and the printers. And just that knowledge that teachers bring to the table is indispensable for someone like me who's a bit green to the field. So,
absolutely. And I love that it's a collaboration. It's, you know, two minds on the same thing, and who knows where it's going to come from. And look, thank you. And thank you for jumping on with the podcast here. And I'm just sort of wondering, if there were any historians listening in, what sort of advice would you give them if they were going to go down this route?
I would probably say, don't wait to know it all. Don't feel like you have to be an expert on this, and don't be scared. It's a really, STEAM is just, I was quite scared at the start about, how am I going to learn all of this? I don't have a brain for this. I'm a historian. But once you sort of start to get into it, the entire, like the design technique, or the design process, is designed for, like, it's created for failure and for learning and extension. And so I would just say my big advice would be, don't be scared. Just get in and have a go. There's so many free tutorials and videos, and we're going to start using Tinkercad, which is free, and 1 month trials of things like Photoshop, and just to test out what there is. And there's never been a better time to just get in and have a go and see where it takes you.
Absolutely agree. Couldn't agree more. And undoubtedly, there'd be people who'd love to get in touch with you. How could they? What are your contact details? Where could they go?
Okay, probably the best place to start is the Museum of the Riverina website, so, which is museumriverina.gov.au, and which is in part of Wagga Wagga City Council. And if anyone wants to email me, it's Leah, L-E-A-H, sam@wagga.nsw.gov.au. So I'd love to hear about other people who are interested in sort of working in this field, and any experiences they might have, if they're already a part of it, or if we can help other people get started, we would definitely love to talk.
Absolutely. And if you're passing through Wagga Wagga, hey, drop in on them. They've got two sites, a Civic Centre and Willens Hill. I think that when I next visit my brother, I'm going to have to pop in, because it sounds like I really
absolutely
should have.
Absolutely.
No, fantastic.
Yes, we wish we had one big building, but this is what we have. So, yes, we're sort of across two sites. But the museum in the gardens, surely you can't go past a garden museum.
So. Absolutely. And look, that sounds like a definite plan, because I think I might be popping down at Easter time. So it sounds like...
Oh, well, we'd love to see you then. The miniature trains will be running. It's a magical a magical experience. So
awesome. Sounds like fun. Hey, thank you very much, Sam, for jumping on. And hey, we might catch you another time.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're all about science, ed tech and more. To see 100 fun free experiments you can do with your class, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S. And click 100 free experiments.
And there we go. We just heard from Sam Lear, who's from the Museum of the Riverina, and she's definitely doing a fantastic job. Now, if you wonder about what's the impact for the kids, the best way to really assess it is, well, ask the kids themselves. And that's exactly what Sam just did.
So what's been the best thing so far?
I'm creating the robots.
And what's your favourite thing?
Well, my favourite thing was programming the robots and the iPads and, like, controlling them with the remotes and everything. And being able to use the 3D printer.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing the finished product and having it published in the museum.
And what are you looking forward to?
Probably seeing how everything looks and how all the dresses and outfits look at the end.
This is the Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Grab a copy of our new book, Be Amazing, How to Teach Science the Way Primary Kids Love, from our website. Just search Be Amazing Book. It's available in hard copy and ebook. Go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
As you can definitely imagine just what it's like as a student walking into a museum knowing full well that in just a couple of months, your own exhibition, your own installation will be there. I mean, how cool is that? I love what Sam Lear is doing, and I really encourage anyone who happens to have a museum, zoo, aquarium, wherever you happen to be, engage with your local students. Your schools will love it. And hey, if you're in a school, why not go out to the local museums and ask, well, can your opportunity class, can your extension students get involved in a STEAM project? I reckon they'd have an absolute ball. But until then, I hope you're getting your lessons really scienced up, making sure they're highly engaging and hands-on, and I hope you're having a lot of fun doing it. You've been listening to me, Ben Newsom from Physics Education, and you've been listening to the Physics Ed Podcast. I'll catch you next week.
You've been listening to another Physics Ed Podcast. We're excited about science. Subscribe to us on iTunes to download the next episode as soon as it's released. And don't forget, for hundreds of ideas, free experiments, our new Be Amazing book and more, go to physicseducation.com.au. That's physics spelled F-I-Z-Z-I-C-S.
This podcast is part of the Australian Educators Online Network. AEON.net.au.